welcome to the Taylor Report. This is CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, the host, and with me is Phil Conlon in the studio.
Yes, good afternoon, Phil.
And we're going to talk today to Christopher Black, and an international lawyer, and he's got something to say about this matter to do with Huawei, the company, and strange behavior of Canadian government. We'll also, later on, we will talk to Otis Richmond, who's going to talk a little bit about Sam Cooke and Otis Redding and their links to Muhammad Speaks, interesting publication. And then in the latter part of the show, we're going to share with you the thoughts of Diana Johnson, who's been writing about the Yellow Vests. But I think Christopher Black is with us. Are you there, Christopher?
Yes, I am. I'm glad to be here. How are you doing?
Very good.
Chris, quite a lineup, by the way.
Isn't it?
Yes. An old Sam Cooke and Diana Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do, I think it's Working on a Chain Gang. There's a song. Canada takes a hostage. Free Meng Wanzhou is your article, and it's in New Eastern Outlook. Chris, I think it's a very powerful article, very timely, I'd say, particularly when we look at the way that the Globe and Mail, the Toronto Star, and the National Post, et cetera, others, CBC, are all reacting to this peculiar errand that Canada seems to be running for the Americans, which is what I believe you highlight. By the way, you write, in my view, as a Canadian patriot, you'd like to know how come
right.
Canada just does these really desperate, dangerous things. Well, let's talk, and there's two elements I guess I'll introduce. It starts off, it's somehow something to do with Iran, the violation of U.S. sanctions on Iran. But I noticed that within hours, all media changed the subject to, we've got to do something about this Chinese company,
right.
Huawei.
Yeah. Right.
One suspects maybe it's more the latter than the former, but you break it down. You say this is not legal, what's taking place. This is outside law. What is your thesis?
Right. I mean, it looks like they're doing two things at once. They want to suppress the advance of Huawei's 5G technology into Western markets. And in Canada, it's being used by TELUS, Bell, and the Rogers. They've invested $1 billion in it. So if they lose this, they're going to suffer a lot. And they're complaining about this arrest, apparently.
Mm-hmm. That, by the way, is not being highlighted.
No, but it has come out. But the Americans have put out these stories that Huawei's phones have all sorts of spyware in it and telling people not to buy them. Anything to kill their business. It's just gangsterism to compete, to kill a competitor's business so they don't compete with Apple and Nokia and Samsung and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And the arrest, so that's one part of the arrest is to hit Huawei personally by arresting the daughter and the chief financial officer. And also it's part of Trump's economic trade war against China.
Mm-hmm.
It's more pressure on China. And she's basically being held hostage, in my view.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, and this is being downplayed, but I think it's also meant to send a message to anybody trying to trade with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, or anybody else who's going to trade with Iran, that if you do, you better not transit through Canada because you're going to be picked up and charged with American crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it has two aspects to it. It's, yes, definitely going to hit, they want to hit Huawei, but it's also a message about Iran and trying to squeeze Iran as well.
Yeah, and you point out these are not, I've been trying to pick up on the laws very quickly. I read the piece by the Dalhousie law professor in the Globe.
Mm-hmm.
And he says you have to have a double crime in a sense. It has to be a crime in Canada.
Right. Yeah, and there's no crime. The American crimes themselves are not legal. What the Americans are charging. Yeah, the law, the sanctions they've imposed on Iran, which they're charging Huawei with violating, are not. They're more like American edicts disguised as laws. This telling the world you can't trade with Iran because we tell you so. And we passed a law in the States saying anybody does that anywhere in the world is going to face American punishment. Well, the Americans can't do that. National laws can't express themselves beyond national borders. But that's what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's how arrogant they are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In fact, an American State Department official said, this shows that the whole world is subject to our laws and better get used to it.
Yes.
So that's one aspect. That the laws that she's being charged under in the states are themselves illegal because they're in violation of the UN Charter, which says that only the Security Council can impose sanctions on a nation, which are valid. These sanctions they're charging her and violating with are not valid. They're illegal, in fact, under international law. So they don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Canada itself does not have such sanctions against Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have some sanctions to do with the nuclear material, but those sanctions don't apply in this case.
Yeah, and so, by the way, there is a treaty that Canada claimed it was in favor of that the U.S. exited.
Yes, there was the joint.
So we're going in the wrong direction on that one. You would think that a self-respecting, patriotic country would say, no, no, we like the agreement. Iran is cooperating, according to the European members and the Russians. So please don't ask us to get into a quarrel involving Iran. You would think that would be what they would say.
Because the agreement, the six-country agreement with Iran, where these sanctions were suspended, lifted.
Mm-hmm.
The Americans reneged on that just a few months ago under Trump, and then supposedly reimposes them. But they're not under the treaty, under the agreement. They're not legal either.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Canada does not have any such sanctions. Now they're going, well, she's charged with fraud. But that's just a cover. Fraud in Canada is fraud in the States. But you have to look at what the essence of the fraud is. The fraud she's supposed to have conducted her company is violating illegal laws in the United States, which don't exist. Which basically, you can't trade with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So Canada should not even have acted on this request, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And secondly, the important part of the extradition treaty says that the government of Canada must consider whether a request from a requesting country is politically motivated, even if there is such a law.
Mm-hmm.
And even if there may be some basis to the case,
yes.
If it's politically motivated, the request should be denied.
Yes.
It can't be even treated. They shouldn't even go have anybody arrested on this warrant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite clearly political.
Yes.
It's obviously political. Everybody knows it in the world is talking about this.
Yeah. By the way, on that, Professor Curie, I believe his name is, he said this, and your article argues very strongly the same point, that this really is the Canadian government involved in a political process, because he says the justice minister is the one that represents America in the court.
That's right.
And the minister will herself be the one who decides whether to act on what the court decides.
Exactly.
Well,
in an extradition case, the prosecutor here becomes the agent of the requesting nation, which in this case is the United States. So it's illegal under American law. There's no such Canadian law. So Canada should not even have acted on the request and detained her. The fact that they've even detained her is a violation of the extradition treaty, in my view, and is arbitrary and is illegal. I don't
mm-hmm.
think they hold her legally.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're talking about bail. I don't know, because there's the time difference here, what's happening in court today, but the prosecution is insisting she be detained. The defense is suggesting she be held in Vancouver, where she has a house or two. But under electronic surveillance, I mean, this woman has no criminal record. It's not a physical, violent crime she's charged with.
Mm-hmm.
And they know it's political, and they're talking about basically we're making her wear an electronic hold. I mean, it's just disgusting. And
yeah, they did put her in handcuffs.
And leg shackles.
Yes. I know, this, you know, they talk about, I'm listening to you, and I contrast the language used by the really cowardly editorial writers of our mainstream press. They all say, well, this will send a message. I don't know. It seems to me the message is Canada is a humiliating sidekick of a bully.
Right. Oh, I think it's dragged Canada's name into the mud really deeply. I mean, we've done some terrible things in the world, but this is. It's also a matter of honor for the Chinese to arrest a woman, and the women's rights groups have remained completely. Western human rights groups and Western women's rights groups have remained completely silent on this, which is very disturbing.
Yeah.
And hypocritical. And then the CBC I saw today said China, by making threats against Canada over her arrest, is pressuring the United States and Canada. And then made allegations about Chinese human rights abuses, as if that excuses our human rights abuse of her.
Yes.
I mean, it's just absurd what's going on. But, yeah, it's just cowardly and despicable. And the Chinese have to call it despicable. And I think the Chinese have warned of very serious consequences. What they're going to be, I do not know. But when they say serious, it's probably going to be serious.
Yes. We're speaking to Christopher Black. The article is in the New Eastern Outlook. Canada takes a hostage, the Meng Wanzhou. You know, she was transiting Canada. Her next stop was Mexico. It's very interesting.
Right.
Mexico now has a new president. Mexico has a dynamic political society. I assume Americans would not have tried this on them.
Well, I hope not. I hope the Mexicans wouldn't have acted on it in the same way. But it's reflective of the trade deal we just signed with the United States, where we basically ceded to the United States authority for us to negotiate trade deals with, say, China.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get their permission.
Yes.
So you can see that the American control of Canadian society and the economy is creeping up alarmingly fast.
Mm-hmm.
And the political leadership in this country has aligned itself with Washington and New York, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And the patriotic forces in this country, I don't know where they are.
Yeah. Now, Chris, you raised something which they have been – actually, it's been a quiet drumbeat, but anybody attentive notices that there's been a steady stream of articles denigrating China, picking issues with China, creating almost a kind of a xenophobic atmosphere roughly along the lines that they have developed – on Russia. And an interesting aspect of it is they said, well, you know, they might spy on us. But meanwhile, according to Mr. Snowden, Mr. Assange, and actually an army of other experts, the security outfits of Canada, the United States, have been spying great lengths against Canadians, prying and getting, and they demanded a back door to all the phones, right?
Right.
So, yeah. And there's an argument that what they don't like about Huawei is that you can't hack them.
Right. Their phones seem to be, well, they try to proof them against hacking by the West. I don't like that.
You must know Charmaine Narwane, who's based in Beirut, a wonderful writer. Mm. She said, I want one of those.
Yeah, exactly.
So their problem with it is that they won't be able to hack it.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's partly that, and it's partly...
So if we're free, we're supposed to demand a phone that will spy on us.
Right.
I mean, this is pretty much into Winston Smith territory, I think. You know,
yeah, and it's also
remember that
Trudeau himself was just calling Saudi Arabia bad names for the kidnapping and murder of Mr. Khashoggi. They were calling Saudi Arabia bad names for the arrest of a Canadian Saudi woman arrested in Saudi Arabia on some human rights charges. Mm-hmm. They're making big noises about this, but Canada has now done the same thing by arresting Ms. Meng.
Yes,
and the hypocrisy is astounding. And yeah. There's all sorts of aspects of this arrest which are interesting expressions of how Canada's just sunk into becoming an outpost of the United States, basically.
And again, it's Christopher Black, and the article will be found in the New Eastern Outlook. Please go to that. Demonstrate in a couple of paragraphs that this was a prearranged, pre-planned, Canada was in on it. They had to, through their own spy system and whatnot, they knew she would be there. And then
they were spying on her, yeah.
And they're going to pick her up, and they knew when. You know, by the way, this business of the coincidence with the president of China being together with Trump when the arrest actually happened.
Oh,
Now, they did that to him before. They seem to be, they like to do dirty, you might call a dirty trick. You remember when they fired missiles at Syria based on a lie?
Yeah.
The president of China was there.
Yes.
And Trump had him sitting on the couch next to him while he made this really outrageous, insulting speech about, we're going to bomb, we have to hit Syria.
Right.
Which, as you know, that's very belittling to your guest when you do that.
Right. I mean, the Chinese have this very long ancient history, and to insult them like that, mm-hmm. I don't think they'll ever forgive it.
Yeah.
I mean, they can forgive a lot because they've almost forgiven the fact that Canada participated with the United States in bombing the Chinese embassy in Belgrade in 1999 and tried mm-hmm. to kill the Chinese ambassador,
mm-hmm.
launched four or five cruise missiles at that, and Canada was part of that.
Yes.
They've sort of forgiven that, but yeah. I'm not sure they can forgive this.
I think probably longer than their forgiveness is their memory.
The memory they never forget.
At this moment, it is their patience that is holding world peace together. They get this abuse, they get having their toes stepped on, and they don't jump up and down. And I notice there's people here who want them to. The Globe and Mail had a headline, they're showing fear and anger. Actually, I don't see a shred of fear. What they say is measured. And, you know, you always want to be careful of somebody who speaks to you in a measured way because they can probably back it up. They're not worried about, you know, expletives or volume. If they sell you something, you probably ought to pay attention.
China now is maybe second or maybe even now the world's largest economic power at this point.
Yeah. By the
Canada better pay attention.
Canada is being leveraged here because Canada did very well and has been doing well with Chinese trade.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been dragging their feet in the Anglo spy network, and they were Australia, New Zealand, and UK have been saying, okay, now we're going to get tough with China. Canada's been coming along, but this seems almost to be a kick in the seat of the pants too, because today's headlines to match up the arrest of Meng with the CSIS warning universities and academics who are doing research. And they point out, and I want you, your article didn't take this up, I hope you will sometime in the future, there's this creature called the Five Eyes.
Right.
And I thought about the other day, the Five Eyes spy network is the U.S., the U.K., Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. And they seem to have a couple of things in common. They're English-speaking, and they're white. The Five Eyes are blue. It might be a bit.
Yeah.
If they think they're going to run the world, I think, listen, you Five Eyes guys maybe ought to look out. They're calling attention to themselves.
Yeah, somebody wrote an article on New Eastern Outlook today about the Five Eyes or Seven Eyes, and that
and the 14 the and the 9.
Are putting pressure on Canada because of them being reluctant to. They still wanted to use Huawei in some systems in Canada, but now that may be the ended.
Yes.
So, but there has discussion of the Five Eyes system, and Canada is just part of this American network of.
The Five Eyes, according to the various information pages that you can look up at the Five Eyes, what they say they do two things that strike me as really important. They engage in commercial espionage on behalf of their governments,
which is
what we're talking about right now.
And
then they get around their own domestic laws about, you know, because we have very good laws saying don't spy on us. However, the way they get around it is they ask New Zealand to spy on Canadians and Canadians to spy on Australians, and that way they're outside the law.
Right.
That's a pretty dirty outfit.
Yeah, I even saw an article that the French were supplying the Americans or the Canadian government with – I think the French were supplying the Canadian government with information on Canadians.
Yes.
And vice versa. Yeah, so that goes around. It goes around in a circle. So they just evade national laws by shifting it around to their buddies in this gang.
Which should turn us all into yellow vests.
Exactly.
When we say don't spy on us, we mean don't spy on us.
Don't spy on us.
Particularly if you're going to call us the freest country on the world, on the earth. Let's go back to this point about this, how strong, and I'm glad you're fighting the current. And again, this is Christopher Black, and it's the New Eastern Outlook. I was reading John Ibbotson, The Globe, and others, and he sort of makes it a point of pride that our duty is to do what the Americans ask us to do. He says, you don't tell them no. We're just the country that can't say no.
Yeah. Well, it's not our duty to do that. Our duty is to do what's just and right and to follow the law. And the law is, under the treaty, that we should not act on a request which is totally politically motivated. And this one is.
Mm-hmm.
And our duty is to stand up for justice and defend this woman against arbitrary fake charges by a government which is using its military and legal resources to fight a trade war.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gangsterism. It's just like it's something the mafia would do. I mean, you're just basically doing anything you can do to shut down a competing business.
Yes, yeah, something the Five Eyes do. Yes,
right, exactly. All these nations are involved in this.
And here they. And also, how about respecting the wishes of the Canadian people? I have to. You know, we should remind everyone when Trudeau was running to be the prime minister, he said he was going to open up warmer relations. He was going to warm the relations with Russia, and that he was going to also going to reopen the Iranian embassy. He was going to do those things. We seem to be going the other direction. And the guy he replaced, who the Canadian people were very determined to get rid of, Mr. Harper. Harper is now all over our papers saying, get rid of Howe. Get him out of here.
Right.
And Trudeau saying, yes, sir, to the guy that people said they didn't want.
Right. And his father must be rolling over in his grave. I mean, Pierre Trudeau was the first Western leader to go to Red China, years ahead of Nixon, to open up, to give China access to the West and started all these dialogue, which actually opened up West of China.
He was Canada with patriotic characteristics.
Yeah, I don't agree with everything he did, but there was one good thing he did. Yeah. But he must be rolling over his grave to see his son being treated like a doormat for the United States.
Well, yes, we just had the episode which Canada. We were told before the Argentine meeting that Canada was going to that at the G20, but weren't going to be signing any documents because there were too many problems with the trade deal.
He signed it.
And he signed it. And he also, according to the National Post, he made a diplomatic faux pas by, failing to hold up his document when Trump and Nieto of Mexico held up theirs. Trudeau was acting, he basically was pouting. We all understand that he was pouting, but he did sign it. That's the hard part.
But he was too ashamed. He was too ashamed to pick it up.
Yes,
that says something.
It is Canada that's being humiliated in this whole process. It's not.
Yeah,
our
reputation
not
around the world is. I mean, I love the Russians and many other nations have made comments about this arrest, decrying it, and calling it despicable. And Lavrov said something about this is typical. This is what the state of Canada has become.
Yeah, and to go back to your point earlier, this is not what the Canadians have expressed a wish for. The concept of the honest broker is a very appealing one here, and I notice now that everybody is comfortable using the word Cold War. Canada positioned itself, and it was permitted, set itself up as an honest broker, but this all involves dishonesty, setting someone up without warning her, for example.
Right. Without warning, because the Americans, they could have warned Chinese government, this is, don't let her come through here, this is what's going to happen. We're going to be forced to pick her up if she travels through here. They could have done that.
Yes.
They didn't. They set her up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a trap. I mean, how do the Chinese in Toronto and Vancouver, Montreal, how much does every Chinese feel here now?
Yes.
I mean, has anybody asked that question, how would the people here feel if we were Chinese?
Yes.
No one is living here.
Their opinion is not asked at all. Actually, our history of xenophobia is a lot longer than our other history of making nice.
It is,
and when it was not nice, it was very ugly,
very nasty,
indeed.
Yeah.
And a last point on also talking about these matters, it certainly offended Canadians when Trump said, "I'm going to put tariff on your steel and your aluminum," and they said, "No, you can't do that. How? Why?" And he said, "Surely," they said, "you're violating all agreements." And he said, national security. And the Canadians all said, we're a security problem? Are you
exactly.
kidding? I mean, we bend over backward, do backflips and everything for you, and we're – and now – what is the reason that they take this woman, Meng? They say security, national security.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for American national security, Canada arrests a businesswoman from China.
Yeah, it's just a pretext for the just mafia gangsterism. It's just this big bully gangster who wants to have the market for everything for his products. Yeah. And if you don't obey, we'll do all sorts of things to you.
Yeah. Well, your article definitely cleared it up. The title is... Canada takes a hostage, free Meng Wanzhou. I'm really glad you said that. We should all be just saying, free her, let her go.
Yeah.
If the United States wants to argue, if it doesn't want to do business, all right, good. Just say so. Have the guts to say so. We're afraid of your competition. We can't hack your phones, so we don't want to deal with you. Okay, but leave her out of this.
Right.
This is humiliating. It's insulting, and it doesn't reflect well on this genteel reputation that has been cultivated here.
No, it does not. It brings what we say in court brings Canada in its reputation into grave disrepute.
Yeah, and it's Christopher Black, and it's in the New Eastern Outlook. Christopher, we're very grateful that you could take the time.
Well, you're welcome.
And we look forward to talking to you again because obviously this is probably going to get worse. And we want to focus our eye on the Five Eyes.
It probably will get worse. I agree.
Thank you very much.
Yep. You're welcome. Okay, yep,
bye-bye. Christopher Black. And this is CIUT, and it's 89.5 FM.